Welcome back to Middle East Forum Radio here on WWDB 860 AM. Top of the hour with Ben Baird, the director of the Counter-Islamist Grid Program at the Middle East Forum and the deputy director of our Islamist Watch Project, with the latest on Islamist influence, or perhaps, Ben, dare I say, the reduction of their influence in the Democratic Party after Super Tuesday. What's your take on the top races and the effects that they had?
Sure. Well, you know, they didn't have as much effect as they maybe would have planned on. And a lot of that had to do with Buttigieg withdrawing at the last minute, at the 11th hour, from the nomination, which in turn caused many centrist voters to go with Joe Biden. But had Buttigieg been in there, I think you may have seen the Muslim vote have a much larger effect on Super Tuesday primary elections. But, you know, there was still some areas where you can look at Islamist political organizing as having an effect in that election, especially in places like Texas, where Biden and Sanders being the candidate of choice among Islamists, where they essentially split the vote, and Sanders did much better than he was expected to do. We also saw, previous to Super Tuesday, Islamists having an effect in places like Iowa and New Hampshire. So I think we've seen that they are effective at political organizing and get out the vote drives, and I think we'll see that continue for the rest of the primaries, especially as we get into the general election.
So talk to me, what kind of influence machinery have American Islamists built up since the election of Donald Trump?
Sure. So they've been extremely politically active. You can just look at their voter registration drives as an example of a success for Islamists. Since 2016, there's been a 20% increase in Muslim voter registration. You know, in previous years, they haven't been as politically active as we're seeing right now. And much of that is due to Islamist organizations going out there and holding voter registration drives. But it's not just that. Building up to Super Tuesday, on the day of, for instance, the Council on American Islamic Relations held robocalls to Muslim Americans targeting Muslim American candidates in, you know, states like Alabama, Arkansas, Texas, Massachusetts, Minnesota, states with Muslim, you know, with pretty robust Muslim populations, to try to sort of talk Muslims into getting out to vote. They also had a public service announcement that sort of talked about the importance of voting and primaries and caucuses. And, you know, this is all building up on how active groups like CARE have been throughout the election year. You know, they not only are they holding voter registration drives, but they're sort of pushing out straw push polls where they, you know, these are highly partisan polls, which are basically pointing Muslim voters in a direction to support their candidates of choice, which at this moment is Bernie Sanders.
What is the appeal that Islamists see in Bernie Sanders? Why him?
Right. So you wouldn't think Bernie Sanders being a 70-something-year-old, you know, Jewish socialist Democrat would appeal to Muslim voters. But there's several things they see in Bernie Sanders that they find appealing. You know, number one, he has 8 Muslim Americans on his campaign. His campaign manager, Fayez Shakir, is a Muslim American. But one of the main issues that many Islamists support him for is his stance on the Palestinian the Arab-Israeli conflict. For instance, there's many Arab voters who have voted for him who said that the Palestinian issue was number one for them, and that's why they supported him. You know, he's been on record leveraging military aid to Israel based on the humanitarian situation in the Palestinian territories. He, you know, has said that he believes in giving aid to Hamas. He is morally equivocated you know, the terrorist state in Gaza with the government in Israel, which is, of course, the only democracy in the Middle East and America's closest ally. He's referred to Benjamin Netanyahu as a racist and a supremacist. So, you know, of course, that appeals to Islamists. But there's also something else we're seeing, which is the younger generation of Islamists who, you know, they simultaneously embrace social liberalism and religious orthodoxy. This is something that Islamist Watch director Sam Westrup has coined the term theoprogressives to describe them. But, you know, what we're seeing is Muslim social justice activists who believe in his redistributist policies and somehow find a way of making those policies work with their with what are really contradictory religious views. But these Islamists tend to look at some of the theological precedents in the religion and try to justify, you know, they try to say that Muhammad, the Prophet Muhammad, oversaw state welfare projects and believed in minimum wage. And they look at things like, you know, the mandatory donations, Islamic tithing, as sort of a powerful redistributive tool, which is in line with Bernie Sanders' policies. So, you know, sort of they've been many younger Islamists and indeed Muslims have found ways to let their ideology mesh with that of Bernie Sanders.
So I see that there really has been this drawing of similarities, and I'm sure that there's been some arguments which have been made in discussions in mosques around America about why Bernie Sanders is the candidate. I mean, and by the way, this isn't just about Bernie Sanders being the candidate of choice for American Islamists.
Sure.
And I wouldn't make the argument that he's the candidate of choice for American Muslims, okay? Because I think
sure.
that a lot of people, and we're actually looking at this, I believe, you're looking at commissioning a study on the viewpoints of American Muslims. We can talk about that on another program when we have a better idea of what we're doing in-house. But he is not just the candidate of choice for American Islamists, but the progressive movement has become the home of American Islamist political action. Is that correct? And if so, is that because of this, you know, wider bridge, if you will, to play with a play on some words? That is emblematic of another political movement, or is this just, you know, okay, Bernie's our guy and we'll find somebody else next time?
No, I mean, what you're saying is years ago, the Muslim vote was actually conservative. They supported President Bush during the elections in 2000 and less so in 2004. But over time, yes, they have joined with the progressive movement. And part of that is, you know, being alienated with what they consider the forever wars in the Middle East. You know, part of that is identifying with identity politics and finding a home for grievance politics within the progressive movement. So it isn't just Bernie Sanders at all. You know, there are other candidates, of course, that are pandering to the Muslim vote. Just yesterday, Elizabeth Warren pushed out an 8,000-word document titled Honoring the Strength and Diversity of Muslim Communities, which really was a way of explaining how her platform can work for Muslim voters. And, you know, it was really kind of a rather patronizing report because she tried to find ways to turn Muslims into victims at every turn. You know, she would cite African-American statistics when it was politically expedient to say so because, you know, 20% of Muslim Americans are African-American. She would cite immigrant statistics when it worked to turn Muslims into victims as well. Even though we know that, you know, looking at raw black or immigrant statistics doesn't really match up or mesh with that of the Muslim American community. So it really sort of took things out of context, but it was in the end, it was all about turning Muslim Americans into victims, and which is rather patronizing way to look at things.
Now,
But that is indeed why many Muslims are moving towards the progressive movement, its identity politics and its foreign policy.
Okay, so that's, you know, in terms of the Democratic outreach. Is there any Republican outreach going on to the American Muslim community? And if so, what does it look like?
There are a number of Muslim candidates. They're definitely in the vast minority. You see this especially at the state level. There are some Republican administrations and state legislatures that reach out to Muslims and have Muslim advisory boards. At the federal level and among the Trump camp, you're really not seeing a organized play to reach out to Muslim voters, though.
And you think that's to the detriment of the party? I mean, my thought would be that, you know, you make this point that Muslim American voters used to vote conservative. Now they've switched over to Bernie Sanders. And Bernie didn't really work out for them that well, at least from yesterday, at least, I would assume.
Sure.
And now we have this situation where many are without a political home. I mean, you know, the survey with the Pew poll going back to 2011 or 2012 is that only some like 7 or 8% of American Muslims identify as Islamists or have some affinity of an Islamist background. Now, we're 10 years on from then. I think that there's been other polling since then. But what can we do as a country, or what can political institutions, we're not a political institution, we're a research organization, do to ensure that the plethora of opinions that are extant in the American Muslim community are accurately represented by the parties which are competing and vying for their votes? I mean, the one thing that I think of is Dalia Al-Akhidi in Minnesota, a American Muslim who's running against an American Islamist. So
yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's about ensuring Muslims that Islamists do not have their best interest in mind, and whether that means, extracting them from the progressive movement and trying to show them that they can, in fact, that they do not have to look at America within an anti-Western, anti-American lens, that they do not have to be treated as victims, and they do not have to be looked at within the lens of grievance politics. I think that's the way that political institutions need to reach out to Muslim Americans. That is what Dalia Al-Akhidi is doing in Minnesota. And there are a number of other, there are a few state-level candidates who are running in the next few weeks here in places across the country who are sort of grasping onto the same narrative. Look, they don't want to make their religion the number one issue of their candidacy. They don't want to make their identity the number one issue at all. They want to make it about policy. And I think that's how all Muslims need to make that they need to sit with that platform rather than one that looks purely from a religious and identity context.
Right. And I mean, if we go back to the Johnson Amendment in the 60s, which prevented the pulpit from being used as a platform for political power, that's quite the tongue twister. Pulpit power, political punditry. There's this general prohibition on 501c3 organizations, specific 501c3 nonprofit organizations, specifically those from the church, synagogue, mosque, any religious variety, from using their, let's call them levers of influence over their congregations to try to take their tax beneficial status and then to use religion as a way in which to influence individuals to vote at the booths. I mean, I wouldn't want a Hasidic rabbi going out there and saying, listen, all of my congregants vote for this guy. Or having a Baptist minister saying, yo, he's anti-abortion, you can't vote for him. He's a pro-abortion, you can't vote for him. Or having an imam say, you know, well, this is, Bernie Sanders, he's a good guy, and then he's giving his ketub on a Friday. Says, you vote for this guy. I mean, you make a very, very good point. We must focus on policy. We must have debates on the essential issues which relate to the way in which this country moves forward for all Americans, and not to grasp at the straws of identity politics that just divide us. Any closing thoughts on, you know, the involvement I would dare say, more, you know, sectarian elements of Islamists in this country? Or more appropriately, maybe the influence of religious figures as we move towards the general election now? I mean, what's their involvement going to be? Are they going to get behind Joe Biden if he wins? Does Sanders still have an opportunity to maybe pull this out in a brokered convention? What's your take?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I think you're absolutely going to see, elements of Islamists and, you know, other Muslim organizations and religious figures become involved. Some will continue to support Bernie Sanders till the fateful end. Others will move over to the Biden camp because they definitely, you know, you definitely won't see any move over to Trump. In the general election, Muslims even have a greater chance of flipping states, and that's just because of the way the general election runs, as opposed to primaries. Primaries in many states are not winner take all, and so the Muslim vote isn't as important then. But when you have Muslims who make up 1-2% of the population in some states, if they come out in force and vote, they can really flip the way that the state votes if it ends up being a razor thin margin. So I think you'll see them become just as politically active in the general elections as they have been in the primaries.
Benjamin Baird, Deputy Director, Islamist Watch, Middle East Forum. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Greg.